Welcome everyone to today's call. Courtesy of GEICO, you have been granted exclusive access to the live podcast interview with Max Pappas, the new NASCAR driver for GEICO Racing. We are very happy to have you participate in today's call. Please remember that any reproduction, distribution, or transmission of any part of today's call is not permitted. However, today's call is being recorded and will be produced into podcast segments. I would now like to turn the call over to our moderator for this interview, Charlie Turner. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm Charlie Turner, and myself, along with my partner, Steve Aronkowitz, are the hosts of the syndicated, mostly NASCAR radio show, On Pit Row. On Pit Row has been on the air for 8 seasons, and I'm also a writer in charge of content for OnPitRow.com, which is the web home of On Pit Row, and hosts the Bench Racing with Steve and Charlie blog, which has been recognized as one of the 4 most influential NASCAR blogs on the net. We've also done extensive broadcast work for the ARCA RE/MAX series this past year. And today we're here with Max Pappas, the new driver for the GEICO number 13 Sprint Cup Series Toyota Camry. In 2007, Max Pappas was the winner of the 12 Hours of Sebring race as well as the Petit Le Mans for Corvette Racing. He started second and finished third in the NASCAR Nationwide Series race at Montreal and participated in Nextel Cup Series as well as Grand Am Series racing. And Max is also the 2004 Grand Am Rolex Series champion. He was also posted wins at the 24 Hours of Daytona in 2000 and 2002. We're very excited and fortunate to have him with us today. Welcome, Max.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Hey, okay, Max, I'd like to kick this off, the interview off, with a question. This one's
Go
from
ahead.
Me. This one's from me. Max, there have been several drivers like you who have come from outside the traditional stock car lineage the last few years. Some have thrived, others have not. What makes you and GEICO believe that you'll be successful?
First of all, thanks for the question, and it's an interesting one. You know, as you say, there have been different drivers from a different background, the not usual NASCAR background, that have tried to make it into NASCAR. You know, on my particular case, I'm not really new to NASCAR at all. You know, I've been, working at the NASCAR, garages, for the last 4 or 5 years. And, I was fortunate enough to be able to be the Hendrick Motorsport test driver for the last 4 years. I think this will definitely, being able to be close to such an organization like Hendrick Motorsport, where I developed their COT car mainly on road courses, but I run as well some ovals. It definitely gives me an insider, and it gives me, an opportunity. It gave me an opportunity to be able to drive, basically some of the best car that you can drive, and I develop, I develop good feeling about the car, and I developed, a good relationship with a lot of people. What I feel as well fortunate is that, during this 4 or 5 years of me, working this opportunity of NASCAR, I met new people. I got, I made myself welcome into the NASCAR garages. Every time I go there, everyone is super excited, every time I walk around, I always hear a lot of enthusiasm about me being around and saying, oh, I hope that some good things happen to you, and, all this good, vibe that comes from people. And, the main things what I feel is that, I've not been plugged in, out of an IndyCar straight into a NASCAR. I've been working personally on a slow transition. And, as well, the other things that, it's pretty important, as well, I see all the time people call me road racer, and, like a road racing specialist. But, through my career, in IndyCar, I run a lot of ovals, and actually my first ever win in IndyCar came at my own Miami Homestead Speedway on an oval. And, I had, as I said, there is some extensive oval experience, even if with different cars. And at the end of the day, we have a great opportunity here. 4 years where we can work on creating what we need with Germain Racing and GEICO. 4 years, that means that doesn't mean that me and Jermaine and Geico, we're going to accept mediocrity at all, you know, but we're going to work hard to make small improvement every time we go on the track. You know, we share the same philosophy about the sport. You know, we have good values about life, and we apply them into me personally, into my racing. And I saw Geico, they apply, you know, the same philosophy into their, you know, company ethic. And I feel that Bob Germain and Mike Hillman Sr., they share this common ethic and moral. So I feel that we all have, you know, something special to go out there and achieve, and we will give ourselves time in order to make this goal a reality. And if the success is based on enthusiasm and will to work, I think that is pretty much guaranteed in terms of, like, I'm willing and I have a lot of enthusiasm about the sport. I have a lot of will to make it happen. And I think that that's the common denominator between me, Bob Germain, and Geico. So I think this is definitely going to make a big difference. And at the end of the day, NASCAR for me is not a job. It's a lifestyle. And it's a lifestyle that fits perfect me and my family. And I've been working super hard in the last 4 or 5 years to make this happen. So between the experience I had and as well the opportunity I had to join Rusty Wallace Racing and get to know all the people. You know, I know that I will have all the time friends like Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon that I can go and talk to. And they're going to, you know, the advice are going to be plenty. So I'm not out there alone, and I know there are a lot of people that they want to see me successful. So I think the ingredients are all there for great success.
I know you said you've been involved moved into North Carolina in the last couple of years. You've been involved in the NASCAR garages for the last 4 years. How long has this been developing? Has it been longer than 4 years? I mean, where did with all your sports car and open wheel experience, where did this the decision to go stock car racing start?
The decision started a long time ago, you know, since Mr. Cal Wells from PPI started his NASCAR operation at the end of 1998, I think, 98-97. You know, I drove for PPI Motorsport and Cal Wells, so I went and see a lot of different events, and I've always been, you know, very close friend with Jimmy Johnson. You know, since I came to America in 1996, I got to know him, and I followed his career. And the more I spent time in the NASCAR garages, the more I understood that NASCAR people are genuine. They have a lot of passion for what they do, and I have a lot of passion for what I do. And I was able to race in couple of road course racing, and I mean, I saw that the level of enthusiasm and the way that the races were, they were just amazing. You know, I was so impressed about the how high the level of competition was, and the main things that attracted me are the people. In a way, like, you know, I'm a people person, and I felt that the NASCAR people, they share, they are like me in a way, like, you know, or I'm like them. We have we have passion for the sport. There is, you know, the love for the love for the cars, and again, you know, I see that for most of the people involved in NASCAR, it's not a job. You know, like for me, racing has never been a job. Racing has been, you know, a passion and a lifestyle, and you know, basically that's how it started. You know, I had the opportunity, you know, I persisted and I pushed really hard. I had this opportunity with Hendrick Motorsport. And after I had the opportunity, you know, thanks to Doug Barnett and Sportclips, to run my first, NASCAR race in the NASCAR number 2 series. So I developed this, and it took a lot of effort to be able to make people understand and break through the ice where they could understand that the kind of person that was behind the Max Pathis, you know, was not just like a guy that woke up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm going to try to make this NASCAR deal happen. You know, that didn't happen from one day to another. You know, it was actually opposite than that. I make a conscientious decision. I move my family from Miami to Morrisville, North Carolina, because that's what we wanted to do. And I dedicated a lot of time and we sacrificed a lot of things. But at the end of the day, this it should be an example. It is an example for me where I say, like, you know, with persistency, working hard, determination, things happen. And now we have this opportunity with Geico and Germain Racing that is definitely special things. And as well, it is special, even more special for me, because we're going to have a technical partnership with Michael Waltrip Racing. And in Michael Waltrip Racing, now the general manager is Mr. Cal Wells. That is basically, you know, second father to me. He gave me the first opportunity when I came to America to drive the MCI Toyota car. And I always say things come in circle. And I guess that the circle kind of looped back this time.
It's a terrific story, and we're looking forward to the next chapter. Going forward, Max, you've got a schedule. You're going to be attempting to qualify this weekend at Texas. Have you had any chance to test at Texas at all in the new car?
Actually, not in the COT, but Texas has been a place of good story for me. You know, I went to Texas the first time, with Chemker in 2000, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if 2000 or 2001, where we were running around the 236 plus. And at the end of on Sunday morning, they decided that the car were too fast, to be able to put the race, and they canceled the race. So that was a big disappointment. I went back to drive for Marlboro Team Penske, substituting Jill DeFerrin in the last race of the season. And, I remember I had it was just incredible to have the captain, Mr. Roger Penske, on the radio. And actually, Texas Motor Speedway was the place of my debut in the NASCAR number 2 series with a Sport Clips car. And it happened in 2005. You know, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not exactly right with the date. Sorry about that. You know, I hit the wall too many times. You know, my memory is not that good. And but it was a place where I made my debut in the NASCAR number 2 series. And I remember that I had a blast. You know, I went over there a few times. I loved the circuit. I raced twice with IROC as well in Texas. So it's first time we're going to hit the track. It's not going to be the first time I saw the place. And it's just something that makes me really happy to be able to be out there in a place that I have a certain familiarity with, even that I don't know how much this familiarity will help, but coming Saturday, Friday afternoon qualifying, I'm going to dig deep into every single lap I've done before and make it happen, you know, because our goal would be put the car in the show, number 13 Geico car.
Well, if it has anything to do with determination or car control, I can remember, I think it was 96 the year that you had that incredible drive in the 24 hours of Daytona in that Momo Ferrari. That's when I probably first became a Max Pappas fan. And I think that's when your Mad Max nickname probably came to at least became common knowledge. If it has anything to do with thrashing a car around, you ought to be able to do it.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you, I'm really excited about this opportunity. At the same time, I am confident that with a little bit of time, you know, things are going to come to us. We are setting realistic goals. You know, we are looking at what we have, and basically these first two races, it's a wild card that Geico gave us in terms of go out there, see how you are, see how we are as an organization, see what we need to tweak within our organization to be ready for Las Vegas for next year. So I mean, it's just awesome, where in the world can happen that you say, okay, we're going to race in 2009, but, we have two opportunities this year to go out there and see where we stand, and see where we are, and learn about, you know, what do we need, you know, how far we need to push, you know, to be able to, you know, to go and you know, qualify at every race, run competitive at every race. And again, you know, it's all about setting realistic goals. And I know that both Geico and Germain Racing, they have a pretty good schedule. You know, we know that we are facing the stiffest and the hardest, the most difficult opposition that there is out there in motor racing in America. So, you know, I'm not, going to tell you right now here, you know, say, you know, we're going to go out there and set the world on fire and do this and that, you know. But I can tell you that we're going to go out there with a lot of determination, and I'm going to go out there with a lot of will to learn, but at the same time, learn quick.
Well, with 18 races scheduled for next year with the Geico Camry, have you set personal goals at this point, or is it too early to do that?
It's still a little early to do that, you know, but the number one goal would be make all the shows. That would be the number one goal. And if you give me, you know, another couple of months, I will tell you how it's going to be my second goal. You know, but generically, what I've been thinking in the last, you know, 3 or 4 months is this, you know, I want to make small improvement every time we go to the track. If this small improvement would be, you know, be half a second faster during a pit stop, if we will be better our average lap during a stint by a quarter of a second, by half a second, if that would be, you know, one position ahead in every qualifying that we do, if that would be, you know, being, you know, one position ahead on free practice in every chart, in every time we go out, you know, those are going to be the realistic goals that we need to face. We need to, you know, we need to look at our own performance and continuous improvement in our own performance. And that's, you know, how is my first goal at the moment, you know, thinking about continuous improvement. And I can tell you that if, you know, with the determination that we will have, if, you know, we are going to make a continuous improvement and, you know, we're going to achieve our goals.
Okay, Max, I want to ask you, one of the things you've done the last couple of years is you've been one of the test drivers for the number 48 team for Hendrick Motorsports. That's probably, I don't think probably, it's one of the greatest teams in NASCAR Cup Series history with what they've done the last 4 or 5 years. Are you going to be able to take any of your experience from testing with that 48 team to your new team, any of the, not necessarily, I'm not talking about technical secrets, but any of the processes, any of the techniques that Chad Canales and his team used with that team to make the 13 car better?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, like to clarify a little bit, you know, I was, you know, a test driver for Hendrick Motorsport in general and a personal close friend with Jimmy Johnson in the 48, not just with the 48. So that included, you know, basically all the Hendrick Motorsport, you know, road course test driving. And some oval as well. You know, the main things that I can tell you that, you know, is I want to rewind a little bit, you know, how this happened. And, you know, basically the reason why we're even here talking is thanks to mainly two people, Mr. Ken House, you know, VP at Hendrick Motorsport, and Mr. Hendrick. I spoke with Ken one day in Phoenix, and I think that was in 1998 or 99. I told him, you know, I introduced myself and I told him what I wanted to do. And in 2003 or 2004, you know, I had the first opportunity to go. They needed someone to go and learn about the new gearboxes and everything. And I went to Atlanta testing the 48 car. And from that time on, I developed a special relationship. And what I learned the most is being around people that have a winning mentality, you know, the procedure, the way they go about the sport. And the most important thing is that I built a relationship that goes way beyond anything I drive, you know, both with everyone around Hendrick Motorsport. And I think this is the thing that makes me the most proud. People appreciated who I am and who I was you know, as a person and as well as a race car driver. And I know that even if I will race against people like Jimmy Johnson or Jeff Gordon, I will be able all the time to go there and ask them advice, ask them, you know, what it really means, you know, what I need to do, you know, if we are on the right track. And I'm sure, you know, with Chad as well, Chad Knaus and everyone at Hendrick Motorsport, in a way, like, I know we're going to be opposition, you know, but I can tell you that I know that they want to see me successful as well. And I think this is the biggest lesson I bring out of this opportunity that I had. And plus, you know, I was able to meet a special person like Mr. Hendrick. You know, when my dad passed away at the end of 2006, Mr. Rick Hendrick, he went way beyond what he should have done to help my family. And this is something that I will never forget. And, you know, we try to help my dad with his oncologist, you know, trying to, you know, to guide me. And all these things are things that are, you know, stuck in my brain. And they will be forever with me. So, you know, there is a human factor and there is a racing factor. But to me, they work together in a way, like, and I'm really proud of that.
Okay, Max, I have another question for you. And this one's a little bit off the beaten path of what we've talked about so far. What do you do outside racing? I know you told me this is a lifestyle for you and a passion for you, but what are some of the things that you do and that you're proud of doing that you think fans of NASCAR and Geico Racing would like to know?
You know, that's a long list, you know, because, you know, I train every morning, physical training. I do a lot of things every day, you know, but, you know, what I've been, you know, one thing that maybe people could be interested in is that, you know, I ride my bike on the road, and I ride as much as I can, sometimes even up to, I don't know, 250 miles per week, something like that, as much as I can. And that keeps me in good physical and mental shape. I love, you know, doing all my gardening in the house. I try to do as much as I can. And actually, right now, I need to go back home and do, you know, some some work in my yard. You know, I need to reseed and do some work for the grass in my yard. And as you can see on Facts About Max, we love animals in our house. You know, we have, in Italy, you know, we have a small farm with a lot of different animals, chicken and ducks and, you know, horses. And we sell our product directly to the local market. And here in America, I haven't gone so far yet, but, you know, we have three dogs, four cats, and a goldfish, and you know, it's kind of you know, I say that he keeps me company during yellow flags, but it's my buddy when we are at home as well. And as I said, you know, I'm I like to see myself as I call myself the agriculture driver, because I like to work in the garden. I like to, you know, I'm always, you know, I'm always working outside. And if there is an opportunity to do something, you know, with, you know, that involves outside work, I do it.
All right, Max, just to wrap things up, could you talk for a minute about your relationship and what it's been like with Geico and what you're looking forward to over the next year?
The things that struck me the most about Geico, and I want to say a little story about, you know, how everything came together, if I'm allowed. I was in 2006. I was in Daytona for the IROC race, and during the downtime, I was watching, you know, the number 7 Geico car practicing, and we were there behind the pit watching, and all of a sudden a gentleman came over with his son, sat there, approached me, Doug Burnett, the Geico agent, introduced me to this, you know, to this gentleman, and said, he told me the name. He said, it was, you know, Mr. Bill Roberts, and I start talking to him about, you know, different things, about explaining about drafting and about, you know, I mean, how do you feel when you drive a car like that and everything. And when he left, Doug told me, do you know that who that person was? I said, no. He will say, he's a race fan. I said, no, he's the number two guy at Geico. And I think that because I showed Bill that for me, he could have been, you know, a race fan, occasional race fan walking by, or, you know, the number one guy of a company, I treat him the same as everyone else, because that's how I like to be treated. You know, we develop a special relationship, I believe. And when my name came up, you know, definitely was an interest, because the guy has always been interested in people that can represent them outside the racetrack with good values and good morals. And when he came up this opportunity, I'm sure that I had a lot of fans within Geico as well. And this is kind of a, you know, this was just a reminder for me to say, like, you see that, Max, everything you've done in your life, the way you treat people, at the end, people treat you the same way you treat them. And this was just an example of how things came together out of an occasional conversation. And of course, you know, I was there at the track, you know, talking and creating opportunity. But these things came out of just something that you would have never imagined. And I'm really, really happy that I had the opportunity to meet Mr. Bill Roberts. And you know, to summarize everything, I feel that the relationship with Geico so far has been fantastic. You know, everyone is so enthusiastic and they're so excited about what we are doing. And as I told you guys, if we can measure the success by the level of enthusiasm and by the level of commitment that we all have, success is us. So we are going to, you know, I'm looking forward for the next 4 years. It's going to be a fantastic opportunity. And the things I'm looking forward the most will be to be able to meet every single person that work, you know, within Geico Racing and within the Geico, you know, corporation that contributed to make my dream come true. Because the main things that I always try to tell people is that selling insurance is Geico's business. But at the same time, you know, their business helps dream of athletes like me coming through. And I will work really hard to make Geico and everyone at Geico proud of the association with me, because this is something that it means a lot more than racing. You know, it's, again, you know, like there are things that come along in life that they leave a mark. And, you know, the association with Geico definitely, you know, has been, you know, has left a special mark in my heart, because I would have never imagined I would have met people with such enthusiasm. And this goes beyond anything we drive or any performance on the racetrack. It's more like on the human side.
Max, I want to thank you for your time today. Congratulations again on your opportunity with Geico Racing and your main racing. Looking forward to this weekend at Texas Motor Speedway. Hope you can get in that race and take that 13 car up and into top 20. How's that?
That's a super, you know, good wish, and I will work super hard, you know, to make this happen. And I'm heading over now to Germain Racing to do the final, you know, tweaks on the car, make sure that everything is fine, and we're going to get the number 13 Geico up and running. And let me tell you, when I'm going to put first gear in Texas and roll out in the pit lane, all of you guys are going to be there with me, because I carry the dream of me, my family, and all the people that they helped to make this happen. And I know that positive vibes goes a long way. And I'm looking forward to feel the enthusiasm and to feel the positive vibes pushing us to the front.
is Max Pappas, driver of the number 13 Germain Racing Geico Racing Toyota. Good luck, Max.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.